Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I'm Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, the most viewed and followed traditional Catholic website worldwide, ranked number one in the world, according to Alexa, as it relates to traditional Catholicism, a top 20,000 website, folks. We truly are blessed here at Trad Cat Night. And today's guest is just absolutely wonderful. This is going to be a blockbuster. First-time guest. So much to talk about as it relates to politics, you know, economics, Trump, elections, so much going on in the world today. And I'm truly tickled pink to get this particular guest on our radio show today. And I just want to make sure that you all are subscribing to Trad Cat Night. Click that notifications button. Apparently there's new loopholes now with YouTube where you got to click this notification button. Otherwise, you're not getting the videos directly to your email. And just want to wish you all a very safe and blessed new year. And today's guest, wow, host, author, businessman, economic analyst, commentator, Mr. Craig Smith, who's very sought out in these times, giving his opinions on what he's seeing, whether it relates to, you know, politics, economics. I mean, we hope to break things down here over the next 20 to 30 minutes or so. And Craig has appeared all over the media, as some of you already know, Fox with Neil Cavuto, CNN, CNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, TBN, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Newsweek, the list goes on and on, folks. He's the author of 9 books, and towards at least some portion in this broadcast, we'll talk about one of them, and Craig is going to be so gracious to give a complimentary copy of this book to those who contact him, and we certainly do appreciate it. Again, Craig is very well-rounded, and I think just in these times, Craig, you know, with the question of Trump, on the surface level, it seems like there are some positive signs here. I mean, certainly, by all means, he was the lesser of two evil options, if you will. I think some people are kind of cautiously optimistic as it relates to, you know, is he the real deal? Is he really an outsider? What are you seeing from Trump? What are some of the positive signs? We see the stock market's up. What is it, like 19.9, I think, now. I've had on V the Gorilla, who thinks that it might go up to 29K before it ultimately topples. But what are some of the good signs that we see? It seems like overall, men of goodwill have a certain good feel about going into 2017, carrying on. What are you seeing from Trump, and what do you think is going to, you know, ultimately move this country in the right direction?
Well, first off, let me thank you for that very gracious interview. I'm not sure that I'm deserving of it, but thank you nonetheless. I see a general tendency, and of course this is anecdotal on my part, but even the data is starting to back it up, that we're seeing a renewal of confidence in America, Eric, that I don't think we've seen over the last 8 years. And you know, in any strong market economy like ours, confidence is an essential element for that economy to be productive, to benefit all people in all walks of life. And because of that, I think Donald Trump has brought forth a sense that we're a nation again, that we're not, you know, I remember the famous Barack Obama speech, we're not a blue America, we're not a red America, we're the United States of America. And he didn't really fulfill that. And I'm not knocking the guy, I'm just saying that's just a reality. However, I think Donald Trump is bringing a sense back that we are the strongest nation on the earth. We're supposed to be the moral leaders of the world. We're supposed to be the economic leaders of the world. And I think we're starting to see that play out in higher prices on Wall Street. I think you're seeing it anecdotally in the restaurant industry. I have a lot of friends that own restaurants, that their business is up substantially. I know a number of Mercedes and car dealers in the Valley and down in Tucson, Arizona, that say that they had the strongest November and December sales they've ever had in the last 8 years. So I think things are moving in a positive direction. But I would only caution your viewers to make sure that they understand that the key to Trump's program is this rotation out of a monetary policy economy versus a fiscal policy economy. If you will, the Fed has been holding everything together up till now. And now the Fed wants to kind of ease its way out and turn it over to the government and expect the government to carry the ball. And I think that that's a false narrative. I don't think it's going to be that easy. And the evidence to that is when the Fed raised interest rates just a quarter of a percent, over $2 trillion worth of bond value were lost in the bond markets. So we can get into the details of that. But to answer your question in a broad sense, I think confidence has been restored to America. It's yet to be seen what Trump is going to do. But I know I feel better about America. I bet you feel better about America. I bet you most of your listeners feel better about America. And that's good for all of us.
Now, another positive thing, which I think you've talked about even in more recent times, is the potentiality of Trump ending Obamacare. I think you've talked about Dr. Tom Prince a little bit and the Empowering Patients First Act.
Right.
I mean, is this a solid reality, or at least maybe he can repeal some aspects of Obamacare to kind of continue on, piggyback off of more positive signs from Trump?
Yes. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, I was on Neil Cavuto's afternoon program, Your World with Neil Cavuto, and I was telling you, we were talking about Secretary Price, and a nominated Secretary Price. He's currently, you know, in the Congress. You have to remember, Tom Price put forth multiple bills that would literally bin stopgaps and, if you will, separate health care bills that could have easily replaced Obamacare along the way. So if you take a culmination of all of those pieces of legislation that were passed or that were rejected by our president, you actually have a health care plan that could replace Obamacare tomorrow on a repealable Obamacare. And just very simple things, Eric, that would have such a massive impact on pricing within healthcare, because our personal healthcare at the corporation has doubled since Obama's taken office, and our deductibles have tripled. Things like tort reform, where we reform this ridiculous legal system that will award $20 million when a doctor doesn't do a suture properly. I mean, that means higher costs for medical malpractice, and that's passed on to the patient. Selling insurance across state lines, for example. I mean, there's a third of all the counties in America that only have one insurance choice that you have. So bringing competition, bringing transparency to pricing in hospitals. I mean, think about it. You can go online, Eric, and you can go price a big screen television, but can you go price a colonoscopy or a tonsillectomy or a general visit? No, you can't do that. You have to get to the hospital, and by then, the choice is made for you. So there are many things that are already out there. And I told Neil on the program that I happen to believe, and I don't know this for a fact, that this is conjecture on my part, that Tom Price actually has a bill all ready to go, and we'll see it within the first 60 days of this new Congress.
Yeah, another area of concern, obviously, for Americans is just the job market in general. I'm going to post this in a little bit. This came out in the past 24 hours. It seems Macy's going to close another 63 stores, cutting another 10,000 jobs. Then we have some backlash over there in Mexico, where it appears Ford Motor Company is going to cancel some plans to build a $1.6 billion auto manufacturing plant right there in Mexico. So people are getting ticked off at Trump. I think they already were to begin with. Talk to us a little bit more about his plan, if you can, in terms of breaking that down. I think the latest numbers on unemployment was something around 4.9. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like this is another area where there's another good opportunity to where Americans are feeling good again, just about being an American in general, but about bringing jobs home, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that we're at full employment. Of course, a lot of it is part-time. 80% of all the new jobs created were part-time jobs because of the Obamacare mandates, and that's why it's been such a drag on the economy. We'd like to get back to the average 40-hour work week, but real wages haven't increased, and that's a problem within that number. Just bringing back jobs to America is not going to get it done, Eric, because if we look at the percentage of our gross domestic product that comes from manufacturing, i.e. jobs, We now are more productive because we're using robotics, we're using computers. For example, my office is back in the 80s. What I do now with a staff of 15 people back then used to take me 45 people, but with computers and barcodes and so on and so forth, we're way more efficient. So our percentage of GDP from the manufacturing standpoint has been virtually the same for the last 40 years. So whether those jobs went overseas or came back is going to be inconsequential. The key is going to be bringing those jobs back and making sure that those jobs are productive jobs, that we're just not pushing paper from one pile to the other. Otherwise, all we need to do is go hire a couple million more government workers and everything would be just fine. But I think Trump gets it, Eric. I think Trump gets that we live in a global world. We have to live with the rest of the world. We have to have good trade relations. And that's why I think, again, another false narrative is that Trump's going to start a trade war. He's not a stupid man. These people that are writing him off as a reality show host and a guy that's just got a big ego and wants to put his name on all these buildings are grossly wrong. He's bringing in people like Rex Tillerson. He's bringing people in like Wilbur Ross. Gosh, we could go on, Steve Mnuchin. And he just announced today that he's going to have Jay Clayton head up the SEC. I mean, these are brilliant business minds that understand that you have to move from a monetary economy like the Fed has created with zero interest rates and creating a lot of paper into a fiscally responsible economy, which means paying down our debt, teaching people to live within their means, and making sure that we're making good loans and that bondholders are being taken care of. I mean, it blew my mind, Eric, when the government came in and wiped out the bondholders at General Motors. It's insane. Bondholders have been wiped out in the history of bonds like that. So this guy gets it. Now, will he get a Congress that cooperates with him to get the things done? I certainly hope so. Will he be given a free rein just to be a dictator? No, of course not, and he shouldn't be. We should have a very healthy and open discussion. But competition is healthy, Eric. And once we see competition come back into healthcare, come back into manufacturing, come back into technology, I got to tell you something. When we're on a level playing field, nobody can compete with America. We have the best workforce in the world. We have the best technology in the world. We have the best capital markets in the world. We have the best access to natural resources in the world. We could be energy independent tomorrow. This nation's brightest days are ahead of us if we just stop making the stupid problems we've made over the last 45 years.
Yeah, just to add on that, once again, I have here with me Craig Smith. I mean, you took $50 and grew a company, is now one of the largest and most respected firms in the industry, to just piggyback off your comment. But to be fair and balanced here, Craig, you know, there's still some out there who are cautiously optimistic, who maybe at this point aren't buying into Trump. We already talked about this one particular area with the whole U.S.-China kind of continuing on with a continued trade war. I'm not sure if you would argue we're already in a trade war, but there's some who would argue, well, you know, Trump is talking too tough, if you will, and that might lead to some problems. And then maybe even looking a little bit further down the road, again, I've had on just a virtually every top economist, and they are blown away that this collapse hasn't happened yet, that this Ponzi scheme hasn't, you know, just the house of cards hasn't folded. I would argue that probably most people would say that we're not going to get beyond 2017 without it happening. But V, the Guerrilla Economist, makes a good point and says that it has to happen. Like, Trump knows it's going to happen. You know, give us a kind of general forecast for 2017. I guess my only concern is this. It seems like the globalists may use Trump as a scapegoat once this collapse happens. You already know these anti-Trump Soros-funded, you know, whatever you want to call them, demonstrators or rioters, might come out of the woodworks. I mean, we could have just all-out civil war here in this country. And then the globalists can kind of blame, you know, Trump and say, you know, nationalism doesn't work. We need to go this way. You see what I'm saying? So it kind of seems like he may be being set up here. What do you think?
Well, let me first be clear with your viewers that I do believe we are headed for a debt bubble collapse. There's no doubt about that. And you know, most people think of collapses as people dying in the streets and standing in bread lines. You know, collapses take on various different forms. And I don't think we're ever going to see one similar to what we saw in 1929 or what you saw happen recently in Venezuela. I just don't think that's the case. But It's a question of whether Donald Trump wants to have that collapse happen now or whether he wants it to happen later. I mean, there's really only those two possibilities. Either a debt bubble gets larger or it gets smaller. Larger means more of the same a la what Japan has done and a bigger disaster in the future. A smaller debt bubble means a disaster now. And people say, what do you mean a disaster now? You just talked real positive. Well, let me give you a perfect historic example. When Ronald Reagan took office in 1981, January of 1981, okay, he and Paul Volcker raised interest rates to get things back to neutral. You got to remember, we've been at zero interest rates. The real interest rate is about 6%, should be about 6% right now. So Paul Volcker and Ronald Reagan raised interest rates to as high as 20%, almost 21%. It created a massive recession in 1981. People forget, after the first 2 years of the Reagan administration, Ronald Reagan's ratings were in the toilet because this nation went through a lot of pain. But he was squeezing the excesses out of the market that we saw during the Carter years, where we saw 15% inflation rates and interest rates go through the ceiling accordingly. So what did Reagan do, though? He started to lower taxes, lower regulations, put more money in the hands of the public and in corporations. And next thing you know, by 83, we had a great turnaround. 84 was a robust year and set us up for 20 years of literally till 2001, a little short, 17 years of unprecedented growth in this nation. That's going to be the decision the Trump team has to make. Are they willing to take a little bit of heat up front and know that they're going to get slammed for it, knowing that that's what has to be done, or are they going to kick the can down the road? I don't believe Donald Trump's a kick the can down the road type of guy. I think he's willing to take the heat, and that's why I'm very positive about the future of America years from now. I'm very pessimistic short term, and that's why I told people 6-8 months ago, get out of the bond market. Well, they should have listened 6-8 months ago. We already lost $2 trillion in the bond market, as I said. And I suspect there's another $5 trillion to be lost. Okay, we are going to go through some tough times if they play this game right. But we have the right people in place. And Eric, here's what's key. If we're going to go through tough times, if you have great leaders that are there telling you we have nothing to fear but fear itself, you have great leaders that say we're a shining city on a hill that will get through this, and the people see the light at the end of the tunnel. They'll bite the bullet, make the hard decisions that, quite frankly, lazy, self-serving politicians have not been willing to make over the last 30 years.
Now, as it relates to, I mean, you're obviously an expert in the area of tangible assets, and I would say, before, and I was thoroughly shocked that Trump got in. I really thought that Clinton was going to get in, as I think most did. Or I don't know, maybe I'm wrong there, but I think most people thought Clinton was going to get in. In the area of precious metals, in terms of getting into tangible assets, what's the outlook for 2017? I know many of our followers were kind of anticipating Clinton getting in, and you know, people were rushing to get their money out, you know, liquidating their retirement funds, starting to move into land to maybe, you know, become more self-sufficient. You think things are more stabilized now with Trump? I mean, people are starting to back off of that. And do you think that's prudent? Or should people be preparing, basically?
I think the perception is that, but that's not the reality. And I think people would be well served. And my contemporaries in my business hate when I say this, Eric, because this is not time to buy dehydrated banana chips, machine guns, and cougarans and wait for the end of the world to come. We're not going to have that type of problem. But it is a very prudent time to take a portion of your portfolio, 5 to 15%, and move it into something that's tangible in the form of gold or silver, or in the form of increased real estate holdings with no subsequent debt that's tied to it. One thing I love about Trump, he believes in real things. Trump does not like paper markets. He understands the potential damage that paper markets can do. Look, debt used properly is a very powerful tool. Trump goes in, borrows $100 million, he builds a building, he sells it for $200 million, he makes a profit or he leases the building out. But if he borrows $100 million and the building becomes $50 million, it can be very, very devastating. We have not been using debt properly. If we restructure our debt properly, which Trump has taken a lot of heat about talking about restructuring our debt, But if we do that and we manage it properly and we bring confidence back, we are still going to have increased hard asset prices. And what that means is higher land prices, higher gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, all the base metals like steel, copper. We're already seeing that in the copper, zinc, and base metal markets. So I would caution people to not depend 100% on paper. This is not time to blow the all clear alert, because we have amassed way too much debt. And it's not just in America, Eric. It's globally. We have a worldwide economy that's growing at, the debt is growing at 2.5 times the amount of the growth of the world GDP. That means we're living on borrowed money. That has to stop. And when that stops, there's going to be a contraction period. See, an economy is much like a set of lungs. It has to expand and contract. That's what keeps it healthy. And we keep expanding, because nobody ever wants to go through pain. There's going to have to be a little bit of pain. People forget, after the Great Depression, we had some of the best years this country's ever seen. So I'm not trying to make it confusing, but I'm just trying to say that precious metals would be a wonderful place to be, but a small portion of your money should be there. Another portion of your money should be in blue chip stocks, products that you use in your everyday life, that, you know, companies that have been there for 50, 100 years. Another part of it should be in high grade bonds that you know are going to be able to be paid back over the long term. I would be very well diversified, but I surely wouldn't take on a bunker type mentality in this type of economy.
Now, there are going to be some who argue, Craig, you know, they kind of see a shift in certain countries. A move away from cash, if you will. I think India is the most recent country. There's been some in the Europe. I think Sweden's one of them. Businesses, you know, not wanting to accept cash, certain dollar bills being banned in various countries. What are the realistic chances of America just completely going digital? I guess there's a concern, Craig, of some, you know, that we're moving into the mark of the beast times, technology, mm-hmm. everything's, you know, moving away from paper and trying to get everyone into the supercomputer. You know, what sayest thou in this area? I mean, is that realistic to think we'll go?
I don't only think it's realistic, Eric. I think it's going to be a reality. I mean, okay. DLT, what's referred to as digital legal tender, is already being experimented with in Canada and England. I suspect we're going to see it in America. I wrote a book, Don't Bank On It, The Unsafe World of 21st Century Banking, a couple of years ago, that outlines it, and I did a special white paper on it called The Secret War on Cash. And think about it in these terms. Right now, if everybody was to take their money out of the banks, what would happen? The banking system would collapse, right? Because you have no deposits. So the government has slowly been putting capital controls on, and we write about this in the book, that if you go to your bank and try and withdraw more than $10,000 in cash, A, you're going to have to fill out all kinds of forms, and B, they don't have $10,000 worth of cash to cash your check. And if you don't believe me, I highly encourage your viewers to go out and test me and see if I'm telling them the truth, because I can show you hundreds of reports, and they even wrote about it in the New York Times. But these government controls on cash, or to eliminate cash, are to make sure that that money stays within the banking system, because if that money leaves the banking system, then we do have a collapse a la 1929. So, yes, it's not only a possibility. I believe it's an inevitability. I think we'll be totally technically we're cashless now with debit cards and credit cards, right, and so on and so forth, and online banking. Very few people carry pockets full of money. I suspect it's by the year 2020, $100 bills will be a thing of the past.
Now, one of the latest headlines that you're reporting upon on CraigRSmith.com, get to his website for all the latest, folks. I was hoping you could get an elaboration on this, is Mark Faber, who's known as Dr. Doom, put out a piece talking about massive wealth destruction is about to hit investors. Can you elaborate on that, maybe put it in layman's terms, what Mark was trying to relay in this latest piece?
Yeah, I think to make the long and short of it, you know, most people, you know, think that if for example, the housing crisis, you know, $15 trillion was lost, well, where did that money go? Well, it never existed to begin with. And a lot of people have balance sheet assets, but they're not real assets. For example, the student loans. I mean, think about a student loan. We got $1 trillion worth of student loans. But if a student can't pay that money back, the lender really doesn't have an asset, and the student really doesn't have the money. He's spending on education. It's a little different, say, if he lent that money to buy a car, you give the car dealer a car back and a car prices drop, but nevertheless, you still have a car. I think what Mark's trying to argue is that it's to the benefit of the world, in some people's minds, to inflate our way out of this system and devalue currencies. Therefore, you're paying off debt with devalued dollars, and therefore you're destroying the wealth of people. This is what happened in Weimar Germany in 1923. You know, we all remember the stories of Germans going to the grocery stores with wheelbarrows full of marks. And here's the sad part about this. What Mark writes about really doesn't affect the super wealthy, Eric, because they have the ability to be able to protect against it. It really doesn't hurt the super poor because they're already on government assistance. It decimates the middle class, and that's the part that just breaks my heart, because those are the hardworking people that pay their taxes, they pay their tithes, they play by the rules, they do everything they're supposed to be doing, and they're the ones that suffer the most unless they take precautious steps to make sure that the money that they work for is an asset that cannot be depreciated away.
Now, 2017 is going to be an interesting year, I think. Most people, whether they're religious or not, seem to kind of point at this date as like, wow, we're kind of heading towards a brewing perfect storm, if you will. Is there something on your radar, Craig, whether it's economic, whether it's geopolitical, political, whatever, that you believe most people are missing, that you've picked up upon, that maybe, hey, you'll start to expose a little bit more as an upcoming project or article? Is there something that we're missing here in this, what I kind of just termed the end game, if you will, before there's this kind of transition?
You know, that's so fascinating that you asked me that question, because I've taken this week off to literally muse 8 hours a day thinking about exactly what you just asked me. And I must tell you that I'm a couple days away from giving you the answer.
Sure.
I can tell you, I can sense something in my spirit. I'm really suspect, and look, I'm not a conspiracy guy. I don't wear a tinfoil hat. I believe in looking at data and looking at facts. But this recent move on behalf of President Obama to move troops towards the Russian border on this provocation of this hacking nonsense is absolutely ludicrous, in my opinion. He's trying to, in my opinion, elicit a response from Vladimir Putin. I just hope that Putin's not foolish enough to fall for it. That geopolitically could set off economic chaos that I think could really affect the disintegration of the European Union. You have to remember the Brexit vote in June was a very important event in the world, and I think many people underplayed it. Brexit, you know, the British decided they want out of the European Union. Well, France now wants out. Italy's talking about wanting out. If you have a disintegration of the EU, that's a huge part of the world economy. Well, if the Baltics are threatened, and you play that into the equation, and we all know NATO is worthless at this particular stage. The game Article 5 means nothing nowadays. And you put in the background of that that Iran is rapidly moving towards building a navy and possibly having nuclear capability. I think these are things that we can't overlook and still read the Bible. I mean, these things all do fall into place. One thing I do know, though, that God is perfectly in control of. I don't think God is in heaven wringing his hands, worrying about what's happening. He has a purpose in all of this. I think we live in some very exciting and dynamic times, and I think it's a time for programs. That's probably why you got into this. That's probably why you're doing what you're doing, because we're going to need programs just like this to have an open and honest discussion about the what ifs going forward. Because if we don't discuss the what ifs, we already know that the news we get from the mainstream media is fake. Just like the Russians hacked the electric grid in Vermont, for heaven's sakes. We found out it's total nonsense.
Right.
Okay. So yes, something is happening. I think it's going to start geopolitically. I think it's going to have an economic effect. But going back to earlier in our thing, and I know we're running out of time.
We're doing okay.
In our discussion, there has to be a bursting of the debt bubble. There has to be. It's going to happen. It's either going to happen sooner or later. It's got to happen. We've kicked the can down. We've got $20 trillion. We have more dollars of debt in America than God has created in seconds of time since Adam and Eve have walked in the Garden of Eden, times 20, for Pete's sakes. I mean, we've got $200 trillion worth of long-term liabilities. We have $1 quadrillion that, you know, that's as many seconds as when the plates moved millions of years ago to form the continents, for Pete's sake. I mean, in the derivative markets, this debt has to be washed out sooner or later, Eric. And if it's not, we'll never have a real value on what things are actually worth. Is a share of Amazon stock worth $777? I can't tell you, because it's zero interest rates. It distorts the markets. You know, look today when we're doing this program on Thursday. Look at the retailers. You mentioned it yourself, Macy's. They were down 9% today on their stock. The retailers are getting killed. Yet we were told we just had a great holiday season. So it's all because of debt. And debt, as I said, when it's used properly, can be one of the most powerful forces on earth for good. When it's used improperly, it's devastating. It destroys households, it destroys businesses, and yes, it can destroy nations.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why I do this is I'm always trying to absorb like a sponge. I believe a wise man always keeps the wiser around him. So on non-dogmatic issues, you know, I'm always trying to absorb and pick up what other people are seeing. Certainly in this area, you're far more experienced. I know you pay attention to this, you know, hours and hours at a time throughout the day. And that's why I need guests like you to come on and relay what you're seeing. Just as it relates to Russia, yeah, I mean, there's this leftist of infatuation with Russia as of late. You know, they seem to be blaming Russia on everything, you know, whether it's WikiLeaks or hacking into the elections or, you know, eating Trump's Cheerios or whatever it is. You know, it's just funny to see how everything's being blamed on them. However, I will point this out, as a traditional Catholic, Our Lady of Fatima did warn eventually that Russia was going to lash out. She said various nations would be annihilated. So I do think at some point Putin is going to have enough. I think it'll probably be over the Ukraine situation. I know some are pinpointing Syria, but the late great father Malachi Martin said pay attention to Kiev and the Ukraine area. So what you just mentioned in terms of us moving troops in there, and listen, Britain's been moving troops in there, NATO, I mean, how much longer can Putin hold out? I don't know. But if we can, yeah,
and you're right. From a biblical standpoint, it's clear that Rosh comes from the north and takes over vast amounts of territory. But I would only caution this, that you know we don't know the hour or the time. I mean, you know we'll see the signs. We won't know exactly when things happen. We'll just see the signs of when they start to happen. But what troubles me more than anything, and I hate to call him out by name, but by golly, Eric, it has to be done. The voices of the neocons like Lindsey Graham and John McCain just harken me back to the Cold War days. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's like we got to stop throwing pebbles at Russia. We got to start throwing rocks at Russia. I mean, I think we better be very, very careful with the rhetoric, just as much as President Obama should have been careful with the rhetoric that he used accusing the Russians of manipulating our elections without any hard evidence. I think words are very powerful. We know the word created the world. You know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so words are very, very powerful. And I think a lot of people within our administration and our leadership around the world have taken words rather lightly. And I think right now it's time to really start thinking about what we say and start thinking about what's best for America in the context of the world. Because we've got to keep in mind, America is good. We have done more to keep the world safe and prosperous and growing and advancing than any. You name me another single nation on the face of the earth that's done more for the world as a whole than the United States of America. We've sent missionaries to places. We've sent care and money and help. I mean, look, I'm not trying to brag about America, but I am. God made us a great nation. You know, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's why in my new book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, you know, John Adams told us, he gave us a government that must be run by men of religious values and moral virtues. We are losing those religious values right now in Washington, D.C. My goodness, moral virtues virtually are non-existent in Washington, D.C. Once we start getting back to those, and once we start having our yes be yes and our no be no and playing by the rules that we set forward, we could see a great turnaround. But that's going to take us holding some people accountable. And that's why I love doing programs like this, because the more people that we can talk to like this, the more they will vote properly to hold people accountable.
Yeah, and I echo your sentiments there. You know, as a Christian, certainly we need to love the fatherland. We need to be patriotic. We know what the globalists are trying to do, however, trying to break down our borders, trying to, you know, we see the burning of the flag and all this nonsense and propaganda. Obviously, they want to move in a completely different area, if you will. Now, you just came out a piece today, okay, January 5th. Get to CraigRSmith.com. You'll find his latest commentary on the Syrian refugees in America. And I've pointed out when I go on to radio shows, you know, I do believe that this is an ultimate Trojan horse. Obviously, it's more inundated in Europe, and so they're seeing false flags there. It'll be start to come more to us, I think, here in 2017. I've argued we'll probably see more 9/11 type of events. I mean, I know that's on the New World Order agenda. We know they want this one world socialist republic. So that's an area that I have mentioned as it relates to the refugees coming across. And then there's also health concerns. We're seeing a lot of these people who are moving in who are coming in with tuberculosis and all these other kind of diseases. But my specific question to you is maybe you can break it down for us economically what this means, you know, negatively, if you will. And what's kind of ironic, too, Craig, is, you know, we've got refugees moving in. And then when Trump was elected, we now have the liberal celebrities saying we're going to move out. which they never did. You know, Snoop Dogg coming out and saying, I'm moving to Canada or whatever. You know, he never did. It was all talk. But the bottom line is, maybe break this down. This will be our last segment here. I know you're busy and we'll get moving along. But break down the whole refugee crisis, if you will.
Well, the 6.5 million Syrians that we're going to assimilate into our society, and they're literally being forced upon us. And that's not even counting what's coming across the border or from other, you know, areas like visa overstays. Are going to put a tremendous amount of burden on our social services, because when you come in as a refugee, under refugee status, you have full services of health care, food stamps, Section 8 housing. I mean, I could go right through the list. Now, this immigration, if you will, could be a very positive thing to America if the Syrians were coming here to be Americans. Now, if the Syrians are coming here to try and build another Syria, that's not healthy for this nation. And look, I can give you presidents all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Republican presidents, Democrat presidents that will tell you that if we ever become a bifurcated nation or a hyphenated nation, excuse me, that we're Italian Americans, African Americans, German Americans, Syrian Americans, we're going to be a nation that's on a path to falling apart. We are all Americans. You come to America to believe in what America believes in. It doesn't mean you have to lose your identity as an individual. But I think back to the early 20s and the stories I've heard, Eric, in 1920s, when if you called a guy an Italian American, he'd punch you in the nose. He'd say, I'm not Italian. I'm American. I came here to be an American. Excuse my horrible accent. But I think you get my point.
Sure.
People came here to be Americans, not to run away from something. And if Syrians want to remain Syrians, then we should set up safe zones over there in areas. There's plenty of land in the Middle East. We're in Jordan and in Iran and Iraq. And let's find ways to keep them in their homeland. And I'm always suspect of people who are not willing to fight for their own country. And I'm not putting these people down, Eric. Don't get me wrong. But if America was under attack tomorrow, I don't think you would be on a boat running away. I think you would be trying to find a way to save your country. And what troubles me is if you look at the 6.5 million Syrians that are come over, and you look at the age groups, and you look at the gender that's coming over, it's rather troubling. Again, I'm not a conspiratorialist. I don't think it's Al-Qaeda trying to infiltrate. But we know that there's going to be a certain portion that are going to be Al-Qaeda, that are going to be anti-American. And, hey, we got plenty of anti-Americans in Hollywood and Silicon Valley. We don't need any more coming in from Syria.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful talk here with Craig R. Smith. I know you're busy, sir, and you got to get moving along. I wanted to give you the opportunity here to give the contact information. I know you're going to be so gracious and hand out complimentary copies of Money, Morality, and the Machine. Maybe you could provide that contact information, and I could also get in the description box of this video. And then just in close, as I do with all my guests, I allow some shameless self-promotion time. If there's any projects or articles you're working on, media appearances, you know, when you're going to be on Cavuto next on Fox, just let us know what's going on in the world of Mr. Smith and what you're doing, where you'll be, things like that.
Sure. Well, first off, my latest book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, I really believe is a book I wish I could get all Americans to read. That's why I got the publisher to print X amount of copies that we could give away. And if you would like a copy of that book, just call 8. I've asked Swiss America, one of my companies that I own, to help me with this, because I have to have somebody get it, you know, the name and address to process the postage, so on and so forth. And by the way, we're paying the postage and everything. Just call 800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Mention you were listening to Eric's program. You'd like a complimentary copy of Money, Morality, and the Machine. And I can't wait for your listeners to read it, because it starts with Eisenhower's warning to us, beware of the government military industrial complex. And it takes us through how that turned into the Wall Street government complex and where we are today, and how the morality that's been lost has been shown in our money, and it's affecting our society, hurting our families. My next appearance on Fox as of now is scheduled for Monday of next week, sometime between noon and 2 East Coast time. I don't know that I have any more books that I'm going to write. I actually have written 10 books. You said 9. I wrote a book early on called True Wealth, which was a biblical perspective on money that I wrote over 35 years ago that, believe it or not, is as prescient today as it was when it was written. Of course, words timeless. But Money, Morality, and Machine may have said everything that's ever, and I know this can sound a little bit almost arrogant, but it almost says everything that anybody ever really needs to know about how our nation was formed, what our values were formed with, how we got off track, and how it's incumbent upon every American to be strong and to be prepared personally. Because, Eric, people forget this. You know, we look at the $20 trillion worth of debt and we say, oh, that's a government debt. No, we the people are the government. You know, you divide that out by 310 million people, and that's how much each one of us owes. It's not like we're not part of this deal. The people are the government, for Pete's sakes. So I just wish I could get people to read this book. I know if they read it, they'd understand it, and more importantly, they'd be prepared for what's coming at this nation. And I really, really appreciate you having me on the program. Hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah, let's do this, maybe over the next few months, and we'll have a whole slew of other current events to tackle. And I agree with you, what you said during this show, talking about, being excited for these times. You know, as much as I put out just objective material, sometimes I get labeled as a fearmonger, and that's not what I'm trying to do at all, folks. I mean, any of you who truly listen to my solo radio show programs, I'm always advocating, you know, keeping your wings spread in faith and hope, folks. That's what it's all about. We shouldn't succumb to doubt, despair, worry, things along that line. That's not the direction that God wants us to go into. And so, you know, again, it's always good to get individuals like Craig on who are, you know, at the top of their game, so to speak. I mean, he's grown his company into something that's just unbelievable, folks. I mean, listen, I have a master's degree in business. We were talking a little bit off air, and the things that he has done is just absolutely amazing. And so those are the types of opportunities that we have here in America. We should capitalize on them. And so, my good friends, look for this talk on all of my social media. It'll be up on Veterans Today here in a little bit. And until next time, my good friends, stay safe and God bless.